not sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our Father, we too may live a new life. Grace is not something that comes cheaply. It was bought at a high price by the death of Jesus Christ. And it's very misunderstood. However, I have to tell you, this week for me, it's a little bit tough to talk to you guys about grace and about the love that God has for each one of us. Because this week, we've had many terrible tragedies happen, especially over the last few days. For me, it's very personal. Coming into this week, I was already a little bit on edge, a little bit stressed out, because a couple of weeks ago, I was informed that the company that I work for was laying off over 800 people. I am one of them. So, with that in mind, I've been a little bit stressed, thinking about how am I going to support my family? How is God going to take care of me? Is God going to take care of me? A lot of these things ran through my mind over the last couple of weeks. What am I going to do? Luckily, they tell us it's going to go in waves. Some people are going to get laid off before others. I'm in the last wave, which means that hundreds of people will find jobs before me. So that is unsettling for me as well. That's just one of the things. However, another thing this week for me that was personal, despite of all my prayers, despite all the prayers of my children, for my grandfather getting better, he passed away. I was very close to my grandfather, and he meant a lot to me over these last many, many years. He was always a great man, but he was taken away from us. I was asked also to do his eulogy for the memorial service, which I gratefully did. You know, I was grateful to do that. I was also asked to help run some different things. I was part of the actual funeral service. I was spoke at the church that that we were at. I also helped to do a lot of the detail work, the technology work. I helped with the music. I helped with the audio. I helped with some of the visuals that were going on. And it kept me very, very busy. So I truly did not get time to mourn until late Friday night when everything was over, and early yesterday morning when I was at the breakfast table with my family. I read them a story that my mother read to me when I was a little kid. And one of the things in that story, and this just happened to be the timing, and I think it was God's timing, is it was a story about a great-grandfather bunny who taught all of his family, his kids, to be artists, which this book actually inspired me to become an artist. But the great-grandfather bunny was telling that the kids that it was time for him to go away, but the love that he gave each one of them would continue to live on. And it reminded me of my own grandfather. And I started to break down and cry at our breakfast table, because it reminded me of my childhood. So not to mention only those two things, there's worldwide things that were going on. April 15th, there was an explosion in Boston, killing three people, one of which was a child, injuring hundreds more. Many families were affected by this act, and many were probably left wondering, where was God during this? Where was his love and his mercy and his grace during this? April 17th, there was another explosion at a fertilizer plant in Texas, killing 14 people, injuring hundreds more. And again, many families left wondering, you know, where was God's grace in this? April 19th, there was an earthquake in China that killed over 200 people so far and injuring about 11,000. Where was God's grace then? Where was it? What I'd like to do at this moment is I'd like to pray for all those people who are hurting at this time, because we've had, as a nation, as a world, we've had a very difficult week. God, we just thank you so much for your love. We know that through tragedies, we can truly experience you and your love. We pray for all the families and friends that were affected by these tragedies. Lord, help to use these experiences to let people know that you are truly God, and that you truly love each and every single one of us. And despite these experiences, we know, God, that you truly do have grace and love for each one of us. Help people to feel it. Help the Christians around the world feel your love, and help them to help other people, God. Help them to feel the love that you've given us and given to a hurt world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So with all this said, I'm supposed to stand before you and preach about the grace of God. My opinion, not a very small task to do. A little bit difficult. But I'm thankful for it, because I am going to preach about it. I am thankful to be doing it because of the grace that God, His Word, and those who are in this very room have helped me through. I understand that I am not alone when I feel this overwhelmed because of the grace of God. I understand that I am not alone when I have to experience tragedies in my life and in the world around me. And I understand that I am not alone when the grace of God is covering me. It is only during these experiences that we can truly rely on the love and the grace of God and Jesus Christ Himself. Amen? Matter of fact, I love this morning, even Fred Holmes came up to me this morning, and he said, "Did you read the daily scripture?" I don't know how many of you have the Bible app on your phone. YouVersion, the daily scripture was out of 1 Peter 5:10. It says, "And the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast." We may be going through some times of suffering right now, but God's grace will make us strong. God's grace will keep us strong and steadfast. And I'm thankful for that through the many experiences that I felt this week. And I'm very thankful that God is there and has always been there for me. So I have one question to ask you guys. When it comes to experiencing the grace of God, are you experienced? Some of you got that. Thank you. The old people got that. How many of you knew I would put a music reference in one of my sermons? Almost everybody did. I'm a huge Jimi Hendrix fan. Are you experienced? Absolutely. And I think after this week, we've all experienced something. But how do we see God's grace in it? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. We're going to talk about it a little bit. And this is a lesson from the life of the Apostle Paul. It reads, 2 Corinthians 12, 7-10. "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited..." Now, prior to this, Paul was talking about some of the great visions he's seen in heaven. How wonderful it is, how awesome it is. And he was trying to describe it, but he just can't, because it is that incredible. It says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we're going to break this down a little bit, but for those of you who may not read the Bible, those of you who are just here for the first time, I want you to understand that Paul was not some fly-by-night Christian whatsoever. Paul was a powerful man of God. And he did an amazing amount of things to advance the gospel in the first generation. And here Paul is pleading with the Lord 3 times to take away the thorn in his flesh. He's asking God 3 times to take away what is ailing him, what he's experiencing. And what I find interesting is that the word that is used here in the Bible in this context for pleaded is also used a few other times in the Bible. It's used when a man's daughter was dying and he was pleading for somebody to come heal her. It was used when a leper sought cleansing from Jesus to heal him of his condition. It was also used when a servant begged mercy over a bill that he could not repay. And in that time, his family probably would have been taken from him because of a debt he could not repay. So I don't know what it was that Paul was suffering from. The scriptures don't tell us. There's many theories about it. But whatever it was severe to Paul. And I look at this, and I just think, you know, it's amazing. How would you pray to God if your child was dying? How would you pray if you were outcasted by everyone because of a disfiguring disease you could not control? How would you pray if you were about to be separated from the family because of a debt you could not pay back? And this is exactly where Paul was at this moment. What I find interesting about this is that Paul had to pray 3 times. And he's never had to do that before. Until God finally told him no. And so I look throughout this week as we've experienced some tragedies. And even in my own life, how many times have I prayed about it? How many times did I have to pray for my grandfather to stay well? I prayed a few times. My children prayed. God still told me no. You're going to experience some tragedy in your life. People in Boston are still experiencing tragedies. People in China still experiencing tragedies. And I'm sure people in Texas still experiencing tragedies. Despite, I'm sure, the many prayers that have gone up. And unfortunately, in the case of Texas and China, the death toll is still going up. But this is what Paul had to pray for. And just to let you know what kind of man Paul was, Acts 28, 3 through 6. Paul was a manly man. Paul was a great man. It says, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and he put it on the fire. A viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice, which is one of their gods, has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Here's Paul, all of a sudden, and this is the man who's praying to God to take something away from him. Here's Paul, can you imagine that? Gathering some firewood and a snake biting your hand and him just going, oh, all right. Just shaking it off, throwing it in the fire. I like to think he cooked it up and ate it, but I don't know. Paul was like the Chuck Norris of the first century. He was that cool, man. But he was a powerful man right there. He just shook it off. Nothing happened to him. And they're like, oh, wow. Paul is a powerful man. Acts 16:16-18. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Now, I'll tell you what, if someone is following me around saying that, I would think that would be awesome. Listen to this guy, he's telling you the way to be saved. I'd be like, thank you. But she kept us up for many days. I would be happy. But finally, Paul became so annoyed, he turned around and at that point said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left. Paul said one prayer in annoyance, mind you, and it drove out a demon from a woman that quickly. Acts 16:25-26. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once, all of the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Can you imagine that? Here is Paul. He's just up here kind of having a church service in a jail. He's singing and praising God, and he prays, and he has such powerful prayers that when he prays, it shakes the entire foundation. All the jail gates fly open, and all the chains fall off of all the prisoners. Can you imagine having that kind of a prayer life? That is just absolutely amazing prayer life. And I think that when it comes back to, he pleaded with God, not once, not out of annoyance, not twice, you know, in praise. He did it three times. And God told this man, no. My grace is sufficient for you. You're going to suffer some things, Paul, so you don't become conceited. So you stay level-headed. 2 Corinthians 11:24-28. Here's some of Paul's life. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. How many of you guys want to follow this guy? I don't. And in danger from false believers, says, I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked, and besides everything else, as if that wasn't enough, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all of the churches. This kind of man, I don't know what experiences you guys are going through today. I don't know if you're having some experiences with family. But Paul truly found grace in God's weakness. And he says, that is why, for God's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I learned this week, for me, in the passing of my grandfather, and sitting at that breakfast table with my family, for me, I like to portray myself as a very strong individual man. I love the fact that I can provide for my family. I like that I'm leading many different things. But it is me leading in those areas. For this week, I had to give up some things that I was doing. We had a teen gathering Friday night. That was the day of my grandfather's funeral. I was going to go to that because I needed to be strong for my teen ministry. I needed to be strong for the other teen leaders. I needed to be strong for my family. But I wasn't, and I couldn't. I became weak because of everything that's happened, all the tragedies, and knowing I had to get up here and preach about the grace of God. I fell apart. But I think sitting at that breakfast table that morning with my girls and a little golden book in my hand, crying, showed my family who I really was. You know what? I am not strong. I am not Superman. I don't pretend to be. I don't want to be. I want to show the world that I am weak. I want to show the world that I am nothing. Because only when I become nothing is Christ strong in me. And when you become nothing, only then will Christ be strong in you. His power is made perfect in weakness. Now, I don't know what experiences you may be facing in your life right now. I don't know what may be causing you to be weak and you may be trying to hide. Are you allowing yourself to be weak so that Christ's power can be made strong in you? And if you're facing something difficult, I encourage you to take a step back, become weak. Pray about it. Cry about it. In my case, mourn about it. And open up to somebody about it. Now, you don't have to open up to about 200 people like I just did. Because when you experience and confess your weaknesses, then you will see God's grace for you. And when you experience that, only then will you be equipped to bring that love and that grace of God to a hurting generation. So I encourage you, every one of us, this week, let's become weak so Christ can become strong. Amen. That's it.